Look who the cat drug in. Limits.
Must have been a very nice cat. He brought a very nice man.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Tuesdays with Brian. I think that was a Mitch Albom book, if I'm not mistaken.
You're thinking Tuesdays with Maury.
I know I am, Limits. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
Good. It's great to see you. Very happy to have you joining me. It looks like every Tuesday. Sometimes I'm a little unsure around here, but it's Tuesday and you're here again. So I'm going to assume it's every Tuesday.
And no Tomlin presser either today. So we've got a half hour extra of chatter.
I love this.
Between us three.
So. Yeah. Read Brian's stuff at postgazette.com. A very insightful man and does great work on the website. All right, Brian, here's where I'd like to start with you and I. Why don't we do a report card? Our friend and colleague, Ray Fittipaldo, we're coming off a week where Ray was a major story that you looked into by asking Mike Tomlin in the locker room about attitude versus latitude. But he does a report card that's the most read thing after every game at postgazette.com. So why don't we say Ray's grade for each position, and then that could lead you and I who knows where. You willing to go anywhere? You willing to go on some expeditions?
Yeah, I don't know that I want to spar with any of Ray's grades.
I do.
He does That's a great job, but I'm going to pull at threads from every individual position.
Oh, no. If we disagree, you know? Agree with Ray, we can rip him, too. He knows that. He's a very stern grader. The player's parents have been known to contact him. Why did you give my son that grade? Yeah, things like that. We'll start with quarterback. That's where I started the show. Ray said it took a little while again. I don't know what he's honestly talking. Ray, what are you talking about? He cranked out two drives right away where he was unbelievable. He threw a touchdown. He threw two touchdowns that got called back. This is what I'm talking about with Ray. And we're going to disagree with him if we need to, Brian. He said he was excellent on the touchdown drive in the second half, 278 yards and a passer rating of 114.9. But his fumble, I think Ray took points away for the fumble. And the red zone trips where the Steelers had to settle for field goals were blemishes on an otherwise strong outing. He gives Russell Wilson a B. Do you have that music that goes, wah, wah, wah? I mean, you probably can't find that because we're not allowed to use it. Okay. I just disagree. The red zone trips, through no fault of Russell Wilson's, didn't wind up in touchdowns. Van Jefferson didn't sit on a route. Broderick Jones face masked somebody, giving them an impossible situation at 2nd and 24. And Pickens, either blame him or the rule, but a beautiful pass into the end zone. He didn't come down with it. All right, I'll give him a demerit on the fumble. I'll go A-.
Yeah, I'll quibble with no fault of his own. I mean, on that one third down, he certainly had room to run and, you know, either chose not to or tried to throw it in there himself. I think that's kind of what you lose with no fields. Russell Wilson not really wanting to push.
Which one that got deflected?
No, it was the one. I believe it was third down. He had plenty of room off to the right side.
But which scenario? Which red zone trip?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look. But
from the press box,
it was pretty clear that he had room to run off to the right side if he wanted to, opted not to, at least at that point in the game.
I think you're talking about the one.
It was after the Jefferson play where he didn't
sit
down.
Right, it was right after that, and he rolls right, and Austin was wide open in the end zone. He throws the ball, and it gets deflected. He might have been able to run there.
Should have kept rolling and started running. But, yeah, I mean, we're picking some nits here with an otherwise really encouraging performance again from Russell Wilson. I think you do have to dock points for the fumble at the end there. I mean, if that were Justin Fields who would have coughed the ball up, people would have been saying same old Fields again at the end of the game, can't close it out. So just being fair to both guys in that. But I mean, those two balls that he threw to Calvin Austin for the touchdown and then George Pickens, that I'm actually surprised he didn't keep his balance with everything we've seen from him over the years and stay in for a touchdown. You just can't really throw it much better than that. And when you get to the end of the day and you actually have watched the game with your eyes and then you revisit the box score and the stats, it looks like an NFL functioning offense again that we haven't really seen since 2021.
What's your grade?
B+.
Limits? These guys are tough, man.
He almost coughed the game up, Joe. I mean, he almost coughed the game up with that fumble, giving
fumbles,
the Giants a short field.
They're also luck, and all of Justin Fields' fumbles happen to be recovered by the Steelers. He did fumble. He did.
And there's some moments there with Russ where sometimes I go back and forth. Is he shaking off the rust still and getting more comfortable, Or is the bottom going to fall out for a guy who's turning 36 next month? And
where did you get that feeling last night? He was 20 of 28 with a Najee drop. Van Jefferson doesn't sit in the end zone. Pickens doesn't catch a ball in the end zone. 50-50 for Scotty Miller. The dude could have been 24 or 25 for 28 with three touchdowns if his teammates did what they're supposed to.
Well, we don't. Do we count every drop of every quarterback performance over the years?
I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. He was 20 of 28, and it could have been better.
For sure. There's always could have beens and should have beens and would have beens. Some of Fields' best throws of this year were also negated by penalties that didn't end up in his final ledger. The plays that I speak of, though, I mean, obviously the fumble again, you don't want to dwell on it, but it could have been brutal for them in that moment. There was one where he was trying to roll a little bit and kind of threw another one of those grounders that
he did throw
like
one. Yeah,
it looked like the couple plays early on last week against the Jets where it was a little shaky for him. But again, you know, you got to give him credit for picking it back up and, you know, playing his best ball in the second half. And it's certainly a lot to build on going into the second half of this season for Russ.
I'll say. I mean, I'm not sure where Ray gets the "it took a little while" again. That was the best first drive I've seen the Steelers have in a long, long time. And the second drive was right there with him. And again, he threw a touchdown pass to Pickens. Broderick Jones face masked. And on the second one, Van Jefferson made a mistake in the end zone. Or that's a touchdown. So to me, he was real hot right at the start.
Yeah, but I agree with a lot of what Ray said. I'd give Wilson a B+. Against the Giants, I want touchdowns and not field goals. In the first half,
whose fault was it?
Oh, still, it all falls on the responsibility of the quarterback to punch it into the end zone because they had other opportunities on third down.
It falls on the quarterback to run the right route, to not face mask somebody, and to come down with 2 feet in bounds? That's three touchdowns. What?
Well, I mean, the one play, the Jefferson, wasn't that a second down play where he didn't sit?
Yeah.
Still had a chance on third down. They weren't able to create anything there. The Pickens one, I'll give you.
The Pickens two.
Well, yeah, the Pickens too. I'm thinking about the 1 foot one especially. Like, got to get that other foot down.
Well, what about the face mask that by Broderick Jones that they scored a touchdown on?
Want to see Russell Wilson recover there and try to throw it further than the sticks.
It's second and 24.
On the next third down play, you have two more plays to try to make it up.
All right.
I'm a harsh grader like Ray in terms
of
quarterbacks.
You guys are, man. Especially if I grade it on a curve, I'm giving Russell Wilson an A++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++ How long, Brian?
Too long.
I'm a little bit combative today. I admit that. A man named Matt Warfield has me in that mood right now.
Don't so let him win. Don't let Matt Warfield win, Joe. He's living rent-free up there right now.
Another situation enveloped here. Now I'm hangry as well. Right, Limits? Running backs. Ray gives them an A. Warren and Najee, the Steelers average 5.4 yards per rush against the worst rush defense in the league, but he gives them an A.
10 out of 10. No notes. Good job, Steelers running backs. Najee Harris really is in a groove. I mean, he's hitting these holes hard. He's throwing people off of them like he's always done. And Jaylen Warren looks like he's returning to the guy we saw the last couple seasons as well.
When you're third and eight or whatever it might be, and you just throw a little dump to Jaylen.
That's what he does, yeah.
And he busts for a first down when you don't think it's possible. That's vintage Jaylen Warren to me. Yes, I give them an A. They didn't do anything wrong. It was interesting to me, though, that Harris was averaging like, 8 yards a carry or something, but they were still throwing more than they ran. They did start to shut him down a little bit in the second half. But now when you have a pass game, and I also think, by the way, that the threat of going over the top, which has been missing for years with this team, going back to latter-day Ben, just changes everything. It makes you respect it. Therefore, you don't have as many guys in the box. Yeah. Simple math.
Yeah, that's what Najee's been saying the last couple of years, that it's tough to get anything going when they're stacking it up against you. He did have that one drop there, second or third of the season for him. So minor details, but yeah, overall, those guys are the engine of this team once again.
An A, Limits?
Definitely an A. They played fantastic, and they get Cordarrelle Patterson back after the bye, too.
Anybody better, Brian? Any running back tandem better in the
Detroit,
league?
Detroit, probably. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, what everybody on that offense is doing right now is kind of otherworldly. This doesn't affect the grading one way or the other, but how about the play where Jaylen Warren and Blitz pick up against a downhill Dexter Lawrence through the gap after he shook off Mason McCormick. Poor Jaylen Warren. I mean, he's stood up a lot of impressive guys over the years, but I think Jaylen trimmed down to maybe like 212 or 213.
That ain't gonna work against Dexter Lawrence. I think we saw the two best defensive players in football last night, T.J. Watt and Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm still really big on Max Crosby for sure, but Fred Warner too. We don't think about him much.
Him too.
Because
you're
he's
right.
In the NFC West,
you're right.
But he's incredible. He punches balls out as much as TJ, if not more.
Do you see how I acknowledged Brian's point there? I felt like I was a little combative out of the chute with issues that had nothing to do with Brian, and now I want to be more welcoming. Limits.
I'm glad you're welcoming him with open arms.
Tensions
a
are
giant
cooling.
Giant bear hug.
The world is healing.
You forgot about Miles
Just
Garrett.
He is smiling.
A metaphorical bear hug.
Where does our guy Miles Garrett rank last in this category in terms of everybody that was named?
He's not in the discussion right now.
What do you mean?
Think.
It last among like elite defenders?
In terms of like Watt, Lawrence, Crosby,
hey, he
Warner,
took it home last year.
He's
but
probably next.
He took it home last year. I just don't think he's really in that conversation right now based on this
TJ Watt led him in all the important categories last year. TJ Watt got ripped off last year, and I thought he should have won it one year where Aaron Donald won it.
Agreed.
He should be at least a two-time winner of Defensive Player of the Year.
And we digress.
No, we don't. We're meant to digress in this very respectfully and kindly, I say to you, Brian, because I don't want to be so combative. But we're not digressing. In fact, that's the design of the segment, to digress.
Receivers?
Receivers. By the way, can you grade when the Steelers got Russell Wilson? Shortly afterward, Donnie Football was in here with Pomp and me.
Okay.
And we all did the Russell Wilson Let's Ride. And I don't want to make you biased in any way by telling you who Limits and others have voted for. Take a listen to these three and you tell me what's the best one.
Okay.
Steelers Nation, Let's Ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, Let's Ride.
All right. Joe's a distant third.
What?
Unfortunately. Man, that's tough.
Play Donnie again. There was nothing to this. How am I a distant third to this with the passion I brought, the Najee Harris-like intensity I brought?
Steelers Nation, Let's Ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, Let's Ride.
Joe, I'm sorry. Yours just
Steeler
isn't doing
Nation?
Anything for me.
All right.
Wait, did you have one City Limits?
No, it was Sean, don't call me Seth Myers. Would you like to hear his? I certainly can play it for you, can't we?
Steelers Nation, Let's Ride.
Not bad.
Very subtle.
He's above you as well,
I
but I think I would
is,
still
yeah.
go, you know what? This we had a chili cook-off in the neighborhood over the weekend. There was like seven batches entries in our cul-de-sac. Pretty much everybody made your standard like dark chili, you know, tomato-based ground beef. There was one white chicken chili, and it's kind of like, how do you even judge that
Stood
against
out.
The others?
Yeah,
that was
right.
Pomp. That was Pomp, and right. I think I have to give it to Pomp because it was just so bizarre and off the walls, and he was freelancing out there.
All right.
You either love it or you
that.
Hate it. I love it.
I know. And his rendition of I've Done Everything for Malzi, he did the same thing. He went, I can't compete with that, Brian. I can't.
He's just like a defender who sometimes he goes off script, but whatever he decides to do,
right.
it's the right choice.
They
it's
were talking
the right decision.
About that.
He pulls it off.
Exactly. Lawrence Taylor was on with Belichick and the Mannings last night. They said their favorite call was when Belichick and Taylor were together was something like zero Taylor. That meant do whatever the blank you want.
Polamalu-esque.
Yeah, Yes.
Pompamalu.
Receivers. Ray gives them a B. He said they paid special attention to Pickens, but that left Austin and Jefferson in single coverage. Pickens had a touchdown wiped out by penalty, failed to get both feet in bounds. A B seems slightly harsh to me, Ray. I've got to be honest with you there. I think that Ray's gone harsh again.
I'm good with a B. I think that Pickens play was such a weird one, especially for all of us in the press box. It must have been the view that we had from up there in the 400 level.
Actually, I agree with you, but go ahead.
Of that end zone, and then it must have been the angle they kept showing on the scoreboard replay as well, because we're all kind of sitting there like, how's that not a touchdown? I usually try to have the broadcast up on my phone, so I'm watching that, and there obviously you could clearly see, for those watching at home, that he never got that second foot down. So I'm trying to tell everybody next to me, I know what it looked like. I know what you thought you saw. George Pickens did another incredible George Pickens thing, but it just wasn't there. It was like, it was so bizarre too, Joe. I mean, it's so Pickens-esque at this point with him. His body control, everything is so impressive that it's like, it looked like there was plenty of time and space to get that second foot down, and he just didn't bother. It was just like, I'm just going to tap this other one twice and see what happens.
What a throw that was. Yeah. Oh, my God, what a throw.
The hand strength was really good, too,
yeah,
by George on that. It gets lost because incomplete, but kind of like the Deontay Johnson play in the back of the end zone at Cincy last year.
Yes, exactly. And now that I think about it, I agree with you. Well, what's your grade?
I'm good with a B.
I'm good with a B, too, because I forgot that Jefferson blew a touchdown, should have been a touchdown. And that's according to Aikman, Mannings, Trey Essex watching the game. You know, he needed to stop on that route, sit, as they say, and it would have been a touchdown. Plus, Pickens, it's hard to be mad about that play.
But you got to make it.
But you got to come down with 2 feet in bounds and have a touchdown there. And it's interesting to me, too, that this offense had rolled up nearly 200 yards before Pickens was even targeted in the game. That, to me, is very encouraging. Like the Giants said, we're taking Pickens out of the game. Artie Smith and company said, okay, we've got enough other weapons. We'll roll up 200 on you in the first half without even targeting the guy. We'll use your diverting resources toward Pickens to our advantage, which they did. And credit to them.
And did Calvin Austin prove that maybe he can step into, maybe not a wide receiver 2, but a wide receiver 3 position?
Oh, my God. That's why we pay limit the big bucks. That's why we lift all them weights, Brian. Let's take a listen to this, and then I'll ask you this question. And I'll give you a moment to ponder it. Does the, is emergence the right word? The contributions of Austin and Jefferson lead you to believe the Steelers don't need to go out and get another receiver by November 5th. First, let's take a listen to Patrick Peterson on with the afternoon guys and his thoughts on that matter.
From your cornerback perspective, which one do you think would make the most sense for the Steelers?
In my opinion, I'm going to have to go with Adam Thielen.
Ooh.
Yeah, just because Allen is one of those guys, you can put him kind of anywhere. He can be that slot receiver. I know we got Austin at that, but I feel like Austin is more like a big play type slot receiver. But if you have a guy like Adam Thielen that can manipulate and receive those cause those mismatches inside the numbers, I think that can be a guy that can really help that offense kind of flourish, because you got Pat as a tight end. We all know what he can do. But now you can add another element inside where you can move him. You can have him outside. And you can move him inside. And he's a guy who can win one-on-one matchups.
Yes, I agree with every syllable, half syllable, quarter syllable, and in some cases, eighth syllables that Patrick Peterson just said. Brian, I still think they need a guy. Could certainly use a guy. What if somebody gets hurt? What if somebody was Pickens that got hurt? They still need somebody else at that position, and Thielen should be the guy. You?
Well, I know the Steelers did like Cooper Kupp, and who wouldn't? I mean, that's not really saying much. I think if you asked pretty much every front office in the league, do you like Cooper Kupp? Yes, we'll take him. Adam Thielen could be Cooper Kupp light in a way. Similar body type, similar deployment throughout their NFL career. I pick up what Patrick Peterson is putting down there. If I were to, you know, play devil's advocate a little bit, 34 years old, banged up, Thielen at this stage of his career gives me some pause. Maybe I'd prefer a guy who's a little more pure, lines up out wide, can take the top off the defense so that you still can use Calvin Austin in that slot role more. But I get it. I mean, it's going to be slim pickings at some point as we get to the trade deadline. And I don't think Omar Khan is going to do anything rash. He's going to be patient. He's going to get good value and try to thread the needle of not giving up too much and getting somebody who can still be an asset.
See, the key to me is somebody who, as Peterson said, can play inside and outside.
Another bigger body, too. I mean,
who can get open.
Lacking in this group.
Yeah, who's a veteran, who can work with Russell, and who just last year. Now, the hamstring is a legitimate concern. He's missed 4 games, but he's back at practice, I guess.
It's not a Devontae Adams hamstring.
Right.
It, well, although the Panthers, they also sat Deontay Johnson
right.
this past week when he, I think, told people and reporters in Charlotte he thought he was playing. So Panthers might be gift wrapping some guys to airmail them to the trade deadline at this point.
He had 100 catches last year. So if you tell me his hamstring is good, I'm all over this limits. And I give the receivers a B as well, if I didn't mention that.
I give him a B. I think Thielen would be a good fit. He just, the schematically, the type of receiver he is. And, I mean, I think back to, try not to think about Carolina a lot, but his Minnesota days, was capable of doing a lot of different good things. But Calvin Austin breakout party, Pony told me I should get a Calvin Austin jersey.
I think you should.
Austin loves some Austin.
Adam Thielen went to Minnesota State. I don't think I knew Minnesota State existed.
Neither did I.
What do you think their mascot is, Joe?
A pork rind.
The walruses?
I don't know. I don't know what they are or where they're from.
Minnesota.
And I forgot what I was going to say as well. I think that you can't leave yourself short at that position. Oh, I also think that when you have an adult passing game in the NFL, that everybody's a weapon. You know, suddenly, I don't think it's an accident that suddenly Mount Washington is making 29-yard plays down the sidelines. Calvin Austin looks like, instead of a one-trick pony, part of the offense at times, even when he's not catching the ball, right? And then Van Jefferson. You know, suddenly all these guys become part of your offense. And I was thinking, the Steelers won a Super Bowl in a year where a lot of us thought they were short after Hines Ward. Yeah, Randall Allen and Cedric Wilson were good, but was either one of those like a classic number two that you have to worry about, or were they two number three receivers? I distinctly remember that. I got into a locker room argument with Randall Allen about that, in which Sean Morey had a copy of a story I'd written about Randall Allen and was showing him in the locker room. And next thing you know, I'm arguing with the nicest guy on the whole team. I have a way of riling up nice people. Have you noticed that?
Who was the nicest, Morey or Randall Allen?
Randall Allen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Morey not that nice.
Morey was like Randall Allen's librarian.
He was running
interference.
Yeah,
with a copy of the story causing problems for me.
He was instigating.
Yes. But the point is that when you have a real quarterback and a real pass game, maybe you can get by if you have a legit number one with just a ton of guys. I'm not going to discount that.
Yeah,
still like to see one more.
And I certainly don't want to compare the Steelers quarterback situation to Patrick Mahomes. But, I mean, the Chiefs didn't have an embarrassment of riches last year.
Neither did Brady a lot of times.
Right, yeah. Now, that's
I'm not making that comparison either. However, Russell Wilson is putting up very good numbers and playing at a very high level for a while now. That's what people don't realize. You go back to his first game in Denver last year, not the first year. The first year was a disaster. That I think we can, based on a, whatever it is, 16-year career, pretty much write off, that was the horrible year. That was the year he worked with Nathaniel Kent Hackett. I'm pretty sure that was the reason, Brian.
Yeah, I think Russ himself has taken some ownership for not playing that well, too. But, I mean, geez, from what I've seen from him so far, he never wants the credit, and he's all, at least publicly, pretty quick to take blame. So take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, I mean, even last year in Denver, Joe, which I think you were about to get to, didn't have a ton of playmakers. I mean, Cortland Sutton would be the George Pickens in this analogy, and that's why guys like Brandon Johnson were catching four touchdown passes from him last
right.
year. He was thrown to a bunch of tight ends as well. So, yeah, I mean, we might get to this in coaching, but I thought that was a really good job by Arthur Smith to be one step ahead of what the Giants were going to try to do with a defensive coordinator who comes from that Vrabel Belichick tree, who also coached with Arthur Smith in Tennessee.
What do you mean one step ahead? What context are you talking
there? Taking George Pickens out of the game. Now, you're right. He didn't technically have a target until they rolled up 200. He did have that one, of course, in the end zone called back.
Yeah.
So they did look to him and would have scored, but yeah, I actually thought all week I noticed in the locker room Russ and Calvin Austin discussing a little more and maybe priming the pump for him being more involved in this game. And if that's what they planned on, if that's what they practiced, it certainly worked out on the field.
Man, it was just, I know Limits was there. We had another guy who said he was up in the stands saying, is that the Steelers on drive number one earlier in the show to lead the show? I went over every play in that drive. You know, they're under center.
Yeah, they were rolling.
Play action, wide open. First play of the game, wide open. Then they go behind center, power run. Then it's shotgun, four receivers, pitch and catch with Jefferson. Third and short, Najee busts it out. Shotgun, four receivers. They're speeding up the game. The announcers are saying a little up-tempo for what? The Steelers?
Yeah.
On the first drive?
Yeah.
They force the Giants to call timeout. Then they come back again. It's Warren, short gain. Roll White, right. Wide open Pickens, touchdown. That should have been it. Should have been the drive. It's an unbelievable drive.
That dude slipped off of Darnell Washington like he was had grease on him.
Yeah.
And he tried to run into a greased brick wall.
I love Mount Washington. I think he's a really good player.
I've been meaning to ask him if he likes that nickname and if he's been to Mount Washington.
What
much.
A great nickname.
Maybe even he lives there. I don't know.
He might.
He
it's,
should
it's
if
one
he doesn't.
Of the great nicknames ever. We haven't given that nickname enough credit limits. Mount Washington might be the tourist spot in all of Pittsburgh, and we have a guy who's giant and therefore is Mount Washington. I know I'm stating the obvious here, like Big Ben, but what a nickname.
When I was in my senior year of high school at Baldwin, my friends and I on like Friday nights would go and just walk Mount Washington for like hours and just look at the city. And that is Darnell Washington actually was the highest graded Steeler in the win, according to PFF last night.
Can you ask him that this week, now that you are in the groove of asking
people? Probably not this week because of the bye,
questions, right.
But maybe next week.
Your
yeah,
next
you know,
opportunity.
We talked to him. Yeah, we talked to him last week, and it was in my mind, and what happened? Oh, I think George Pickens started talking over in the corner of the locker room, so I had to migrate.
What if you came in every week, and in the spirit of anything but football with Al, you came in on Tuesdays with some sort of offbeat interview, even one question?
I think I do that do that a decent amount already, but
oh, I yeah, know you, you do. Need well, the right. You could bring it in here,
yeah,
and
yeah,
we could play it.
You definitely need the right subject. You need somebody who can play. Although sometimes you just need an unsuspecting
right.
subject. The one that I asked Washington this week before I didn't have time to get to the Mount Washington nickname was the comment from Russ that he could be playing in the NBA that he said last week that he's so
you brought
big.
That to him.
Yeah.
Well, tell us next what he said. We got to run. We're going to get to the O line. And then the defense following along Ray Fittipaldi's report card. And what did Mount Washington say to that? You like this song, Brian?
What is it?
I don't know. It sucks.
Sounds like Katy Perry a little bit. Last Friday Night. You know that song? That's a good one.
No, I don't. Do you, Limits?
I love Last Friday Night by Katy Perry.
He loves it.
It's a good song. It's a catchy song, right, Brian?
Yeah. What did we talk about last week? Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, latitude and attitude. I do remember that.
R.I.P.
Let's go back to the report card. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette in with me until 2 o'clock, following along with Ray Fittipaldi's report card. Let's go to the offensive line. He gives them a B-minus, running game, strong start, pass protection, nice. Then some penalties came in. Broderick Jones, McCollum, everybody has a rough day against Dexter Lawrence, so that's nothing new. Sayamalo with a late flag. I think a little rough at a B-minus. When my offense gets over 400 yards and I get the penalties, and one of them wiped out a touchdown, man, I would take that performance from my O-line on a lot of days. Your pass protection was pretty darn good for most of the day against an absolute beast. Not only in the middle, you had Brian Burns with 6.5 sacks. Good for them that Thibodeau was out. I just think it was a good performance. I'll give him a solid B.
Azeez Ojulari, pretty good too on that other edge. And, you know, he schooled Broderick Jones on the sack that he allowed. I'm pretty worried about him right now.
He's a worry point, isn't
he? At right tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's been all season. You know, it's not like he's been a turnstile every game, but I mean, he's at the bottom of the league in penalties taken for O linemen. He's at the bottom of the league in sacks allowed, at least by PFF's crediting numbers, and it just matches with what you're seeing. I mean, that game last night at times looked like the preseason concerns with him. You know, there's not a lot of other answers. Troy Fautanu's not coming back, obviously. Dylan Cook, I mean, he's just a guy, but
he's got to be doing something good in the run game, though. Because the run game's been very good. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's been, like, god-awful, but he's had some glaring mistakes that have hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, he's still athletic enough to get out and move and get to. And Isaac Sayamalo was out there in open space at one point.
Yeah.
Leading the way, so good to see him getting back to it after starting off with an injury. I think Ryan McCollum holding up pretty well, and he was playing through pain last night, Joe. At one point there, they were looking at his right arm. On the bench, Najee Harris came up to give him a high five, and he did the old He did it with his left hand because he couldn't quite.
Like Ron reaching for the check after a dinner, the old alligator arm.
He certainly short-armed it on that one. But
I thought you'd like that one more, Limits. I didn't get any laugh.
The old alligator arm?
Yeah. Okay, so what's your grade?
I'm fine with B minus from Ray. I mean, do you dock any for Calvin Anderson coming in there and giving up a sack for Dan Moore?
I don't know. The offensive line to me has to be doing something right if you're pumping out four. How many yards did they finish with? 430.
And you've got a. I don't want to say he's a statue, but Russell Wilson we know is not going to be escaping and moving around a ton. It's not like you're blocking for Justin Fields. I guess you kind of grade on a curve there a little bit as well. And yes, Joe, the final yardage total for the Steelers was 426.
There you go. Give me a grade, Limits.
Solid B.
Me too.
Solid B for the offensive line, all things considered. I mean, there's still so many backups at the start of the year that are in there. McCormick wasn't expected
to
start.
That too, Brian. Don't you have to grade on a curve here a little bit? I think Gray is being very harsh here. Very harsh.
The standard is the standard. Next man up.
We got to go quickly through the defense. Defensive line, he gave a D. I got no problem with that. I mean, they got bullied on their home
field.
They
were not noticeable.
By a team that isn't a great running team. Come on. It's supposed to be a great defense. The one thing you need to do is absolutely smash the run on your home field. And now they've been run on a couple times by teams that can't run at Acrisure, Dallas, and now this club. Plus, Indy ran on them. I don't know. Yeah, D's good.
Not a good O-line from the Giants. Not really a dangerous running back duo, but you wouldn't have known it from last night.
I give them a C-. I don't like all the no-name running backs starting to create their own names for themselves on primetime football against the Steelers.
Linebackers, he gives a B overall. You know, I would say if they closed the game, Watt and Highsmith was, I thought, the best player on the field. 12 quarterback pressures. Now, their outside guys got burned a little bit early by a lot of screens and things like that. But in the end, they closed the game for you. And then the inside linebackers, Roberts again made some great plays. Patrick Queen, I would call him a mild disappointment 8 games in. You?
Yeah, he's not really standing out in a way that's making you worried about him. But with that kind of free agent acquisition, you want him to stand out in a way that you are noticing him week to week. So I think he's doing his job for the most part. I'm mild disappointment is probably fair. And I would give these guys, TJ Watt, I'd give them an A. TJ Watt coming through as an A player again at the end of the day.
You'd give them an A from last night, the linebackers?
I'm waiting it so much toward what the outside guys did. Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt.
All right, I guess that's fair. I mean,
taking over that game when they needed a jolt.
Something must have gone wrong if they're giving up 400 yards to the Giants, and it couldn't have been all the defensive line. But okay, you want to give them an A? How about that?
Oh, I want to go a different route and give the outside linebackers an A+ and the inside linebackers a B-, and then meet you in the middle at B+ or so, because I mean there was
a
substantial
difference.
I like the way he thinks,
Brian.
Yeah, that's a gray area with the D-line, the linebackers, where to put these guys when we grade them. But even on a night that Alex Highsmith shined, TJ Watt is always the guy bringing it home.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Secondary, he gives a B+ to. I don't know about that. Dante Jackson had a very rough night. They held Neighbors relatively in check, almost had a touchdown there. I'm going more a B- myself. You?
Minka Fitzpatrick had a big breakup there. That was kind
and
of
Beanie had the big play.
Vindication for Minka was kind of a similar play to that one against the Colts where he got called for a flag. I mean, he just came in there like a rocket, dropped the shoulder, clean hit, obviously, and dislodged that ball. That was huge for them. Yeah, Beanie Bishop, I mean, you could say some of these are easy interceptions, but you still got to make the play when it comes to you. And we've seen the Steelers
needed to
drop
keep his feet in.
We've seen the Steelers drop so-called easy.
And he didn't use two right feet to keep it in either. He got both feet in.
No, he didn't. Yes. So that's a plus.
I thought
Dante Jackson.
Like that better too, Limits. You don't like anything that's happening here.
I like a lot of what's
You
happening.
Seem very dour today.
Dour.
Go ahead, Brian.
Dante Jackson shaky, and that's the only reason I'd keep him from an A. I'll go B+.
Okay.
So that works
good
for me.
Solid B for me. Dante Jackson needs to be better.
Told you I wasn't going to disagree much with
that. Yeah, man. And when they go against real offenses with real quarterbacks, which they're going to do almost every week in this in the post-bye world, this could be problematic.
Brian Daboll flipped angrily on Daniel Jones after that game in the presser where he basically said...
Which game?
This last night, he said he should have put a shift. I guess I shouldn't say angrily, but he pretty clearly put it on him that he didn't shift the tight end over to chip TJ Watt.
I thought the tight end missed the signal.
No,
that's
Jones
missed. That's the impression I got.
Jones did not do his job pre-snap.
Holy bird milk.
Yeah. So things are going well in the Big Apple for both teams.
What did you make of that play, City Dweller?
I just cannot believe how bad the Giants and Jets are. Just in general, the Jets are hyped up. Oh, playoffs.
Who's worse? They play in the Super Bowl right now. Who wins, Jets or Giants?
Oh, my gosh. I think the Jets would still win.
I picked the Giants.
I think the Jets would still win. Daniel Jones just... If you're not doing the pre-snap stuff correctly at this point, I mean, he's supposed to.
It wasn't all his fault, though. He's got guys that not coming to a stop, not lining up properly. Their offense is just a disorganized mess, and yet they put up 400 yards.
One really undercovered, under-discussed thing last week was that the Giants were interested in Russell Wilson this offseason.
They were?
Yeah, they met with him before he came to the Steelers to meet in Pittsburgh.
Holy bird follicles.
I remember fans were taking photos with him at the Newark airport.
last but not least is coaching. Ray gives the coaching a B. I think that's rather harsh, and I'm angry at him. I'd give it at least an A-. Artie Smith got 426 yards of offense. I think the things that went wrong last night were player malfunction more than the coaches. The defense got a little bit out-schemed, I will say that. Now, maybe I'm warming up to Ray. I'll give him a B.
Special teams, we didn't say. That should be an A, I think. Ray said A-. I'd give special teams an A with Calvin Austin game-changing play. And then, yeah, coaching, I'm good with... I'll go B+, actually. I'll split the difference between you and, and Ray because...
I can live with that.
The Tomlin challenge explanation was strange. I mean, he was asked about it afterward and said he wasn't clear.
Okay, let's get your opinion on this. Every scoring play is reviewed. So, why? Obviously, Tomlin is A, a very sharp guy, B, on the competition committee. What are we missing here? Why would he have thought that it wasn't reviewed?
C, I'm going to... add this as another piece of evidence to the mounting case file that they need somebody else on staff who's in charge of this stuff, or at least has more authority on these reviews up in the booth.
Is there something we're missing?
He was sneaky about it last year when he was asked about the Deontay Johnson. From the looks of it, he's just flying by the seat of his pants and doesn't really have much more help than all of us at home trying to make these
calls,
which I wouldn't advise.
That would be the most elemental thing possible. Every scoring play is reviewed, therefore, why would I challenge it? What am I missing?
I think the issue there was the official explanation on the field of we're calling this incomplete on the field because they... It was confusing. I mean, they said something about replay assist.
There we go.
Review.
It was confusing on the field. Take that, Matt Warfield.
It was
Take
confusing.
Take that, City Limits.
It was confusing. But
so, Tomlin doesn't go to the news conference and say what he said if there wasn't more to the story. Let's hear what he said, Brian, about that play. Do you have that, City Dweller?
Yes, if you give me 2 seconds.
Do you like that new nickname?
City Dweller?
Yeah.
So how many is that now?
City Slicker.
7.
How many nicknames? 7?
Yeah.
Here's Tomlin.
I didn't know that they use replay assist, so I really wasn't really clear on why... it was ruled a non-touchdown, and so I went to the flag. Had I known they used replay assist, obviously I wouldn't have thrown because you're not allowed to throw when they use replay assist.
Right. So obviously Tomlin knows that.
Yeah.
So clearly, let's go step by step. At first, a touchdown?
I believe they did at first. So
they
now Tomlin's thinking all of this process is working the way it's supposed to. They're erring on the side of a score.
Yes.
So they get an automatic review.
Yes.
I keep my red flag in my pocket.
Yes.
And we get this straightened out in a timely fashion.
Very well explained. Then what happened? Or what might have happened?
Then the official steps up. Now, a lot was going on in the moment, so I don't know verbatim what he said, but I think it was something about, I don't know if he used the word review, but they said incomplete. So now I think Tomlin's confused to the point of,
they said incomplete amongst themselves, maybe without the use of replay.
Yeah.
That's what Tomlin's thinking.
Which is where the gray area comes in. Okay, now I have to challenge it if I want them to take another look.
Clearly, you're right.
And perhaps the official comes over and says, Mike, da-da-da-da-da, we did this, and tempers are flaring. He's probably hot in that moment.
Right.
Like what he thought was a touchdown now is taken off the board.
That's why I didn't blame Tomlin
I thought he was trying to make a point and said, you know what? Screw it. I'm throwing this flag anyway.
Yeah.
Take another look at this. My guy caught this.
Or maybe he was saying, you guys, on your own, made that incomplete. So as far as I'm concerned, the call now on the field is incomplete, and therefore it doesn't get reviewed like that Deontay play last year in Cincy. Which, by the way, the whole thing's so stupid, it's almost unfathomable that, okay, if it's ruled a scoring play, if it's ruled on the field an actual score, then we'll review it. But if it's not ruled on the field an actual score, even though it was in the end zone, then we don't review it. How stupid is that? This makes you and Matt Warfield wrong, by the way.
It's fascinating because on one hand, I think the officials need to just say, Mike, we already did it. The procedure in place has been followed.
That's what I said. And he yelled at me.
You legally cannot throw this flag.
Right. Yes.
I knew from the stands that shouldn't have been a challenge flag that was thrown.
But on the other hand,
you couldn't have because you didn't know what the conversations were on the field and you didn't see what Brian just explained, that maybe the officials on their own, therefore making it the call on the field before replay, decided it was incomplete.
Yeah, but Tomlin threw the challenge flag after the referees announced after review, which is obviously coming down from replay assist, that it was deemed
as
an incomplete pass.
This is a coin flip to me, but here's where I think I ultimately come down on it. You're the head coach of the NFL team that's playing in this game. You need to get the utmost clarification before you allow them to even put you through that and take your challenge, which was akin to just throwing it in the garbage for no reason.
Here's what I think, that the officials, because of the mass confusion on that play, should have gone over to Tomlin and say, Mike, I know that was very odd, but we ruled on the field that it was incomplete. Or at least you may have seen that. I can see how you would have seen that. So pick up the flag. You get your challenge flag back. At some point, you have to adjudicate the game with some common sense.
Yeah. And same goes for Mike too. Just he's got to make sure he gets that. And he said, basically came in and sort of amounted. I thought he was going to come in and say, you know what? I wasn't happy with the officiating. I wasn't happy with the call. I wanted to throw my challenge flag because I'm going to take George 10 times out of 10 on that, but it seemed like he came in more of, I was confused, and it was unclearly explained to me.
Right. So to me, the ultimate conclusion I draw is him and everybody else on the planet, not only by that call, but by half the crap that happens in these games. I'm sorry.
It was a bad product early on with Roger Goodell in the house, man. Bad, bad product for much of that first half.
And I'm sure you'll agree. The punt return should have been negated.
Yeah, talking to Rodney Williams, one of the blockers on that unit, one of the guys who kind of pulled up at the last second to not get a block in the back, and we were talking to him about that, and he said, were people online saying we got away with one there? What happened?
No, it was the running into the kicker.
Right, yes.
That was blatant.
That's why he was like, I know it wasn't me, and I said, no, people online were saying Moon almost blocked it, but he didn't, and then he crushed the dude's plant leg.
Yeah.
So.
And to be fair, it was both sides, as it usually is these days. The Alex Highsmith roughing the passer was a travesty.
Yeah. I mean, one of my basketball coaches early on in life just said, the refs always are terrible. Don't complain about it. Just play.
Yeah.
Every game always stinks. Deal with it.
Limits, I want to give you the last word on anything you want. Maybe the Bob Pompiani stuff, maybe Brian's presence, maybe that particular call, maybe your experience in the stadium last night.
I love Brian's presence. The stadium experience was pretty great. Pretty great last night. I was hoping for a flyover, though, every game, and sometimes I don't get it.
I was surprised by the amount of blue in the stands, actually.
Yes, that's another thing that caught my eye. A lot of Giants fans. A lot of kind of quiet Giants fans. Not really into it that much.
I was surprised they really made the trip in droves. I mean, they stink.
Oh, imagine
nobody thought they were
going to
win that game, so... Monday night, I have a neighbor who's a Giants fan. He didn't bother going.
Yeah. I had some great pierogies at a tailgate beforehand.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very happy for you, Limits.
Yes.
You're a great fan. He goes to Pitt and Steeler games.
And I'll be at the Penn State Ohio State game on Saturday. Somebody commented on Twitter and said, you're pretty busy seeing all these games.
I love it.
I love it too.